can't tell you how many times people have told me they don't pray because they don't think God is going to answer their prayer. They don't know the God I know. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't know this attribute about Christ, your faith is lacking.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Christ is Our Example and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Well, today we are going to be talking about Christ is our example, and our key verse is 1 Peter 2 and 21. All of those who are able, please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. And today I'll be reading out the NIV version of the Bible, but whatever version you have is fine. Christ is our example. 1 Peter. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Father, we come to you today, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all the people who are here joining with us today. We thank you, God, for all the people who are listening today. And God, we pray that you will open up our hearts so that we may receive your word, God, and that you will strengthen us with your spirit to allow us to live out your word, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, your precious Son, we thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. Christ is our example. Look at the scripture. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you. He suffered for me. He suffered for us. And doing so, he also left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Being a Christian is not easy, but we know we can do it because Christ is in us and Christ is our example. Christ could only be our example if he had done it already. So everything that God asks you to do, Jesus has already done. And the strength of Jesus is within us so that we may be able to carry out what God calls us to do. So let's take a look at some of the examples that Jesus leaves for us. First, Christ is unselfish. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, Christ is unselfish. In Romans 5:8, it reads, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I like the way it says for us, because he didn't have to do that. But he loved us so much that he chose to do that. Remember, Jesus said that no one takes his life, but he lays it down freely. So that was an unselfish act that Jesus did for us. We deserve to die for our sins, for the wages of sin is death. In Romans 6:23, it reads, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift, and it gets to us through grace. It's not earned. Some people believe that when they're believers and they fall backwards and they commit a sin against God, that they're an evil person. But that's not true, because Christ lives with inside of the believer. And he cleanses you of all your sins. Now, sins are not good for people, because sin leads to death. But through Christ, we have a spiritual life that will endure forever and ever. And it is a gift of God, a gift. Christ took our sins on himself selflessly, giving his life in our stead. It should have been us on the cross. It should have been us dying. It should have been us condemned, to eternal hell. But Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, stepped forward and he gave himself as an offering to God. Amen? Now, we must deny ourselves and live for Christ and for others, because this is what Jesus did for us. Did he not? Jesus lived for us. He gave of himself for us. Listen to what Matthew 16:24 says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you not know that each and every one of you have a cross that God has ordained for your life? Something that he has asked you to do. Some people call it a calling. You must take up your cross on a daily basis and deny yourself and give yourself over to God. But all too many times I see believers praising God with their lips, but their actions do not praise God. Because if you read this scripture, you will see that Jesus is telling his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. That's the first step. You must say that I don't count. That Jesus is everything. The gospel is everything. What I want is second to what God asks of me. And then you must take up your cross and then follow him. And like I said, everybody has a cross ordained to them. I don't know what your cross is. I know what my cross is now. It took me a while to figure it out. But believe me, if you pray long enough, God will keep handing it back to you. Amen? He will. He will. If you don't know what your cross is, just look around in your life and see what God keeps handing back to you. When it lines up with biblical principles, you know it's from God. We all have a cross. But some of us are afraid of our cross. Some of us think that our cross is too heavy to bear. And we come to God when he shows us our cross and we say, I can't do this. And God said, I never expected you to do it. I'm going to do it for you. Or better yet, I'm going to do it with you. But see, if you don't deny yourself, you won't allow God to carry your cross for you. You won't allow it. You'll fight him. When you don't deny yourself, you are cheating yourself out of blessings, and you are cheating out other people's blessings as well. Because see, when you deny yourself, God will lead you to green pastures, will he not? Does the Bible promises that he will lead you. But if you're not following, you're not going to get there, are you? You can't get someplace when you're not following the person who's taking you there. And the only way you can get to where God's taking you is to deny yourself. The longer you hang on to the things of this world that you want, the longer you're going to suffer the lack of blessings from God. He's got them for you, but you got to deny yourself. You got to give up yourself to God. Pick up your cross and follow him. Now, Christ is understanding. Some people call me up and they got a crisis going in their life. And they say, you don't understand. And it's true, I don't understand everything because I'm a human being. And I'm not all-knowing and all-experienced. But Christ is understanding. And so I tell people, don't run to the phone. Run to the throne of grace. Psalms 103:13 reads, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now, fear is another word for respect. Obviously, God doesn't want us come crawling up to him, scared like a little puppy that's been beaten. No, he wants you to respect him. And part of respect is trust, correct? Part of respect is trust. So listen to what he says here in the beginning of this. As a father, how many of us come to God as a father? How many of us humble ourselves and say, you are my true spiritual father? Now listen, he says he's got compassion upon you and me and every other believer out there as a father has for his child. And God is the best father anybody could ever have. This father's not going to beat you. This father's not going to abuse you, abandon you, or hurt you in any way. He's the perfect father. So God is understanding. Christ is understanding. He knows what you're going through before you even know you're going to go through it. When Christ was here on earth, he had great compassion on the sick, lame, blind, and the sinful. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus saw the people that were in need, and he answered their need because he has understanding. He has compassion. He loves us. I can't tell you how many times people have told me they don't pray because they don't think God is going to answer their prayer. They don't know the God I know. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't know this attribute about Christ, your faith is lacking. Because when you know that this is an attribute of Christ, you know you can stand boldly in front of the throne of grace and petition him, calling him out on his character. That's faith. When you come to God and you say, I know you heal the sick. I know you forgive the sinful. Here I am. Call him out. Call him out on his character. He likes that. He likes it when you challenge him on his word because he never fails his word. Amen. Now listen, some of us read the Bible and we think, well, that was then, but this is now. That stuff happened way back then, but it ain't happening now. Not true. Christ is the same today as he was then. God is never changing. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. What a scary thing it would be if you woke up tomorrow and the things of Christ changed. You couldn't count on a person like that, could you? That wouldn't be a reliable person, would it? No. See, listen, when you read the Bible and you see what God did for the people in the Bible, despite their mistakes, despite their sins, he did it, right? Because he is faithful. You know that he's going to do it for you too. That's faith. See, it's not up to you to get what... It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to anybody to get what they want out of God. It's up to our faith. You see, it's not your character God's relying on when he's blessing you. It's not your character. It's not my character. It's the character of Christ. When God looks down at a believer, he sees his son, Jesus Christ. He sees his son, Jesus Christ, in the believer. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. Are we not? He shed it for us. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, Christ understands and cares about our infirmities and needs. We should also be understanding, caring for the less fortunate, needy, and sinful. I love it when I hear people say, I've been blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what are you going to do with that blessing? Hog it all for yourself? Or are you going to use what God has given you, even if it's a little, to give back to the people around you who are in need? The less fortunate. Are you understanding in that way? Knowing that it could be you that's in that situation with those people. You know, you could look at a bum on the street and see him begging for food, and you could make a judgment call. Or you could reach in your pocket and give him some of your change. And be glad it's not you that's out there begging for food, being judged by so-called believers in Christ. Jesus never turned anybody down, did he? Can you read one time in the Bible where Jesus turned somebody down? This is an awful big Bible. And I ain't seen nobody turned down by Jesus that had faith when they came to him. And it's sad that believers do that a lot to people. We were talking today about the church, how we started in a garage. We didn't have much, but what we have, we gave. What we had, we gave. Wasn't a whole lot. It was a garage with a window air conditioner placed inside the door. And it got hot in there. And we had little chairs. We had a little, but we gave of that little. And God grew it, did he not? He grew it. Amen, he grew it. Christ is unfailing. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Listen, believers have God on their side, and God does not fail. When your enemies come up against you, you know that they got to get through Christ first. Amen? When your enemy comes up against you, God has got to be defeated before you are. Before you are. Satan is a liar. Satan wants to defeat each and every one of God's believers. He does that with lies, manipulations, and schemes. But when you know that your God is undefeatable, you know that the devil's beatable. Is he not? He's under our feet. You don't even have to listen to him anymore. You can pick up your Bible and listen to Jesus. Jesus already got the victory. Next time the devil comes knocking on your door, tell him, hey, there's nobody home. You're knocking on the wrong door. This is the house of God. You got the wrong place. My God already beat you. I don't hang around losers. Not those kind of losers. Christ is an unfailing friend. You ever have something devastating happen and you start calling people up and asking people for help and suddenly there's nobody there? And it may not be on purpose. They just may not be available. And you feel all alone. And there's nobody you can call on, nobody to come by your side. That's Jesus to the rescue. And I've learned something. God will allow circumstances in your life. Listen up, because he did it to me, and I preach on what happens to me. I preach by experience. He will allow things in your life. Doesn't always cause things to happen. You know, we live in a fallen world, but he will allow things to happen in your life where you find yourself in a situation where nobody but him can answer your prayer. Because we all know it's only him anyways, right? But he wants to show himself strong. So listen. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So you can meet somebody that's got 100 friends and you've only got one, and that one friend is Jesus. You got to be there for the people when there is nobody else that's going to be there for them. And they got to know you're going to be there. They got to know. They got to know that they can call you any time of the day. And that you're not just going to give them lip service, but that you're going to answer the call. I got a lot of friends that will tell me what I want to hear. I want friends that are going to show me what I need. Because that's the kind of friend that I am to people. I don't make promises to people that I know I'm not going to be able to keep. And Jesus doesn't do that either. Jesus doesn't do that. Christ is dependable and trustworthy. We should follow his example, be true to God, true to others, and true to ourselves. Now listen how this works. First of all, we know how Christ is. We know that he is dependable and trustworthy. And we know that we should follow his example. First, we got to be true to God before we can do all of this, right? Our first step, we got to be true to God. Listen, you can't go out into the world and tell everybody how to live their life until you're coming before God and explaining to him why you weren't doing what he asked you to do. And really, there is no explanation, is there? There's confession. But see, that's being true to God, coming to him first and confessing your sins and not excusing it like Adam and Eve trying to blame everybody else. No, you come to God and you be true to him. You say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I can't be a good person. I want to be a good person, but being bad is so much funner. This is where you all laugh. You know what I'm saying here. You know that you can't be good all of the time. And God knows it too. But some of us aren't honest with God about that. We just come to God and we say, well, you know, so-and-so did this to me and so-and-so said that to me. And that's why I acted up like I did. And that's why I did the thing that I did. God doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear that you are sorry for what you did and that you want to turn from your ways. And that's when he gives you the strength to do it. When you rely on his strength, he'll give you the strength. When you start relying on your own strength, forget it. You're on your own because that's not faith. That's you trying to do it all by yourself. That's you making yourself out to be God when Jesus already did it all for you. Now, are we getting the concept of grace here? It was never up to you or me or anybody else. It was always laid on the shoulders of Jesus. Now, listen, after you come to God and you're truthful with him and you're honest with him, you start to grow spiritually. And then you can start being truthful to other people. You could be true to other people. You could start being honest with them. Because now you know who your judge is, and your judge just forgave you. So now you're not worried about everybody else judging you. Now you're not worried about everybody else seeing your faults, because you know God already saw them, and he's already forgiven you for them, and you know that you're on the right path. So now you can be truthful with others. Now you don't have to walk around like a peacock strutting, saying, well, I got it all together. Your pastor don't have it all together. I'm a human being. And I thank God every day for Jesus, because I tell you what, without him, I'm a mess. And I can confess that because God already knows it. And then you have to be true to yourself. Because you know we lie to ourselves, do we not? We cover our sins to ourselves. And we know everybody else is looking at us and seeing what we're doing, but oh, no, I'm innocent. Once you're true to God, once you start being true to others, you're going to see yourself in the mirror a whole different way. You're going to start seeing yourself the way God sees you, broken and in need of a Savior. When you start seeing yourself as broken and in need of a Savior, you come down to the level of humbleness that God needs you at. But remember what we talked about a few moments ago. You got to deny yourself daily. You got to pick up your cross daily, because that humbleness can fade away real quick, real quick. I'm so glad that God blessed us with this church, that it wasn't done on our own strength, because I could have fell victim to the sin of pride by thinking my pocketbook did it or the church's pocketbook did it. But no, it was the grace of God. We were blessed with this place, supernaturally, I believe. I know, and thank God for it, because I want to use this as a testimony to call others into Christ, to say, look what Jesus is doing for this church. Don't look at pastor. Don't look at his family. Look at what Jesus is doing, because without him, I am a failure. Thank God I can have the blood of Jesus covering me. Christ is just. We have a justful God. People don't get away with everything they think. Some people think that Christians have to be pushovers. I don't like that thought. Jesus was not a pushover. You couldn't push Jesus around. How many of you think you can push Jesus around? Raise your hand. And I'm going to step back for the lightning strike. Listen to this. Christ is no pushover. He stands up for what he believes. They were selling animals in the synagogues. Now here was why they were doing this. We're talking about the religious leaders. The requirement was you brought an unblemished animal in for sacrifice for your sins. This is before Jesus died for our sins. And if you had a spotted animal or a defective animal, you couldn't sacrifice him to God. So the high priest, the priests, the religious leaders were in on a game with the marketers. They say you can sell your animals in the temple if we get a cut for it. And we'll make sure that when somebody comes up here with an animal that is not bought from the market, we're going to reject it. So it was a gimmick going on. They're cheating people. So you had to buy from the market that was jacked up. You couldn't bring your own animal in because they'd just reject it. And you'd have to go out and buy another one. And Jesus saw that this stuff was going on. But more than that, he saw that they had made God's house into a marketplace. I don't sell anything here. You can't buy nothing from me. This is God's house. This ain't the supermarket. But listen to this. In John 2, verses 14, in the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area. Now, have you ever seen a Christian lose their temper and people throw in their face? Oh, I thought you were a Christian. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus lost his temper. You can be angry and not sin. Jesus with these people. Do you think he walked around real nice and gentle? No. He spanked their bottoms. He drove them out. We're talking about a marketplace here, and he drove them out. It takes guts to stand up for what you believe in. When someone's disrespecting God's house, when somebody's disrespecting God, somebody's got to stand up and say, you can't do that. Amen? We're not weak. We're strong with Christ. Jesus did these things because he knew what was right and what was just, and he stood up for it. When you see somebody trampling over Christian rights, you should stand up in the workplace. I had to stand up in the workplace. I was bullied, but I stood up and I struck back. Not with my hand, not with the whip, but with my rights as a Christian. We live in a free country, and we have a God that is just. And we too should follow his example of being just. You see an injustice going on? You stand up. You stand up. Like Christ, we too must stand up for righteousness. Deuteronomy 16 and 20, follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. You guys want to know why you're not being blessed? If you're not being blessed, I'm saying, you got to follow justice and justice alone. You got to read God's word and you got to apply it, not just to your life, but to other people's lives too. I don't want to hear atheists tell me that I don't have a right to my beliefs. I have a right. I have a right. I live in this country too, and I don't want to see this country go down the tubes because somebody doesn't want to believe in God. I want to speak what I believe so that I can get more followers in Christ to join me in the crusade that God has called me to do. And it's my hope that everybody that hears me will join in that crusade, that God will wake up people's hearts and give them the passion to go out and proclaim the gospel of Christ, because it's all about Jesus. I don't want to live in a world like we see out here today. There's nothing in this world. There's no justice in this world. No matter what you get, no matter what you have, you are going to lose it anyways, right? You're not taking anything with you. But if you got Jesus, you've already got it all. And Jesus never leaves nor forsakes you, does he? Why can't the rest of the world have that? There's people right now, as we speak in this church, who are on their deathbed and dying, and they're going to hell. Well, Pastor, why would you say people are going to hell? Because they are. They're going to hell because they never believed in Jesus. They never accepted the free gift. And I'm almost done. Christ is undaunted. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God is a conqueror through Christ. He conquered sin through Christ. I love the way God works. He works on a human level, and he includes us in everything he's doing. And if Christ is undaunted, we should be undaunted. Christ kept the faith, completing his purpose. He was undaunted by persecution, ridicule, and even death. As I said at the beginning of this, God has a calling on everybody's life. I honestly believe that. I don't know what everybody's calling is, but he's got work for all of us to do. And you know, some of us, we do know what it is. Some of us know it in our hearts before we actually realize it in our minds. But yet, persecution comes along, or ridicule comes along, or the threat of physical harm comes along, and we want to run from it. But it's too hard. Too much. I can't do this. We're not doing it alone. Like I said, it's Jesus in you. The number one weapon, the number one thing that we have is God's word. He wrote one book, and he asks us that we read it, that we apply it, that we pray it back to him, that we meditate on it, that we live it. And in doing so, we will be blessed, and others will be blessed. This country was founded on people who believed in the Bible, who believed in its contents and believed living it out. Our churches could be stronger. Our families could be stronger. Our lives could be of a better quality if we would apply the Word of God to those areas. We are conquerors through Christ. We must keep on keeping on. When trials, troubles, and temptations strike, like Christ, we must never give up. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. If God has called you to do it, call upon his strength to get it done. Now, it says I can do everything through him who gives me strength. God's going to give you strength to do what you need to do. If you find yourself struggling and out of power, you need to go back to God and make sure he told you to do what you're doing. God, I'm so worn out from yelling at everybody at work and being mean to everybody. Can't you give me some more strength? No, that's not what he called you to do. He called you to love everybody at work. He called you to get along with your neighbors and your family. It's not always easy. I understand that. Conflicts happen. That's when you call on God and say, God, this is going to be rough, and I need you, and I need your strength, and I welcome it. I yearn for it. King David committed horrible sins, yet God said he was a man after his own heart. What's up with that? Because God looks at your heart. He looks at your true intentions. He knows the flesh is going to fail. He knows that. But with Jesus as your strength, it doesn't have to. That doesn't mean that trials won't happen. Things are going to happen in your life. You think the devil's going to sit still while you're out working for God? Not going to happen. He's going to paint bullseye on your back. You think he's not going to tempt you? Of course he is. That's his job. That's what he does. He's going to try to get you, but you already won. You might not be able to avoid the fire, but you're going to get through it unburned. You know that the fires of life that God allows burns off the stuff he can't use. So why are you fighting it? Right? God puts you through the fire to refine you, does he not? There's some things on you and me that he don't like. So he lights a fire, cooks it off of you. What happens when you boil water? The impurity starts coming up from the bottom, doesn't it? You can boil water and see stuff in that pot that you never knew was on the bottom, did you? Come on, if you got a dirty pot and start boiling water in it, the dirt's going to start bubbling up to the top, isn't it? That's what God does. He puts you under the fire, and then you start acting all up. Hey, I thought that guy was a Christian. Yeah, so did I. Man, look at that. All that stuff starts bubbling out of you. It happens, don't it? And it ain't pretty when it happens, is it? Horrible. Christ is undefeated. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's got the victory? Who gives it to us? God, right? God gives us the victory through his son, Jesus Christ. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful gift. Nothing's more precious than Jesus, and God gave him to us. Oh, how jealous the devil must be. How jealous the devil must be. That God looked down at his creation and said, I love them so much, I'm going to give them my only begotten son, whom I love. Christ arose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Everyone dies. Even Jesus died. But he defeated death. We got the victory. I feel sorry for people who have everything materialistically, but no Jesus, because their road is going to come to an abrupt end. And boy, are they in for a shocker. But we who believe, we know that death is a release, that death is a victory, because we get to go home to Jesus. We can be victorious also because of Jesus. Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. You get that? He's our example, right? He rose from the grave. He's going to raise us from the grave. If Jesus did it and we're following him, are we not going to follow him to eternal life? Of course we are. Emulating Christ brings victory in this life and eternal life in the world to come. In conclusion, I want to say, to follow Christ, you must learn to hear him. You got to open up your spiritual ears. You got to read your Bible, got to study your Bible, got to pray it back to God. You got to listen to God when you're praying. You got to train your spiritual ears. Once you have your spiritual ears on, you must learn to obey him. Listen. Listen to this. People know right from wrong when they read the Bible, and they clearly know what God is asking them to do and what not to do. But what about obeying him? You have got to learn to obey him. Now that you know what you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing, now you got to fall in line. You can know the rules and not obey them. Christians, that's not a good option to have. You know, God gives you free will. But when you disobey God, you're only hurting yourself. And, well, I shouldn't say only. You could end up hurting other people too. But once you have your spiritual ears on, you must learn to obey him. Listen for that voice. Listen for that command. Listen to what he's saying. And then do it. Don't question it. Don't rationalize it. Do it. Once you learn to obey Christ, you will learn that you can trust him. Listen, once you start doing what God tells you to do and it leads you into the blessing, either for you and or others, because sometimes he'll have you do something that blesses other people, and your blessing is the fact that you were used in a blessing. But once you learn that obeying God is good, that's how you build trust. That's how you build trust. Isn't that how we do it in our own relationships? When you get to know somebody, you tell them a little bit about you. And when you find out that you can trust a little bit about a little bit of yourself to them, you start opening up more, don't you? And giving them more, don't you? Well, listen, when God tells you to do something and you obey him, he's going to start telling you to do bigger things because he knows that you're learning to trust him. The more you want out of God, the more faith you're going to have to get to receive it, because he's going to start telling you to do some scary things, big things. Come here and follow me. Ooh, I don't know, God, that's pretty scary over there. But I'm already here. I've already gone before you. Trust me. Obey me. Follow me. Once you trust Christ, you will follow him wherever he leads. Wherever he leads. That's the ultimate goal of the Christian. Once you learn to trust Christ, you're going to start following him everywhere. And when you start following him in everywhere, you're going to be involved in things you thought you never would be involved in. You're going to be doing things you thought you're never going to be doing. And you're going to be rising to a level you thought you'd never rise to. Spiritually first. Or you can choose to go home here today and say, that was a good sermon. I'm glad it's over because I want to go home now and relax and watch TV. You can do that. That's your choice. But I would rather have us go out of here today and say, I want to follow you, God, to a new level because I love you and I want you to reveal more of yourself to me, more of yourself.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.